One of the things we've seen in making this series about dispossession is that acts of dispossession can be part of wider disputes, that an action brought concerning dispossession can be part of a series of cases. And we're going to investigate this now through a revealing English novel disseisin case from the early 13th century. I'm John Hudson, and to tell me about the case, I have with me Will Eaves. So, what's the date of the case and where is it being heard?
Well, this case is heard at Lincoln in 1206. This isn't part of a national heir, so it's not part of a huge countrywide visitation. But the justices visited Lincoln in this year to hear assizes of novel disseisin and conduct jail delivery.
And who are the parties to the case?
The plaintiff is William Blackbeard, we're told, and the defendants are a certain Everard, and then Everard's brother Stephen, and several other people are also named on the writ.
That's interesting, having several defendants, because that means that several people have been involved in expelling the fearsome-sounding William Blackbeard from his land. So it may be a case of almost of group enforcement of some sort. Mm. But what's the particular issue of the case? What do any arguments reveal about the legal content and the factual content of the case?
Well, and unfortunately, the plea roll is a little bit damaged in places, but we can work out the fundamental issues concerning the case. It seems to concern 6 acres of land, and from what we can tell, it seems that Everard brought a writ of right against William in the court of the prior of Newton Longville concerning a tenement in Booton, which is in Norfolk. And Everard won the case, and then subsequently William brought this writ of novel disseisin, claiming that he had been disseised unjustly and without judgment by Everard.
So explain to me, the first hearing had been in a Lord's Court and brought by writ of right, which is determining the, in a sense, the ownership, the greater right to the land, rather than just recent possession. But then there is a subsequent writ brought by the losing party to the first case. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so what's the writ of novel disseisin doing here? Is it challenging a previous judgment?
Well, it seems to be. The writ's directed at the successful parties in the action of right, so the people who are now in the land. But in effect, it seems to be a challenge to the verdict of the prior's court. We know from the plea oral entry that William's argument is that he appeared in the prior's court after 4 summonses and was prepared to make his law through compurgation. So that is, he was prepared to swear an oath. We then find out that 4 members of the prior's court come to the present hearing and they give a record of what happened in this court. And they're very careful to set out the precise procedure that was followed by the prior's court. And they say that William lost the land because he defaulted after many summonses, so he didn't show up. And they offer to prove the truth of the record, so they offer to prove the truth of what they're saying through trial by battle.
And what did the justices, how did the justices respond to this?
The justices say that William can prove his case through compurgation, so again through oath swearing, and a day is given for him to do this.
So what we've had an initial case where land has been awarded to Everard because William has not made his claim properly. And William then complains that the land's been taken away from him wrongfully. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, normally we might expect the question simply to go to a recognition, to a bunch of empaneled locals who will say whether William had been disseised or not. But what in fact happens?
Well, in this case, the justice orders that William proves his case through compurgation. So he is given a day to swear an oath to prove that what he alleges is the truth, which, as you said, is pretty interesting because there's not a recognition, which raises all sorts of questions about the role of recognizance in these sorts of disputes.
Why is this peculiar procedure likely to have been followed? Is it to do with lack of knowledge about what happened, or what is it?
Well, quite possibly. It's interesting that the case is heard in Lincoln, the tenement in disputes in Norfolk. So we don't know whether the recognitors had been empaneled in Norfolk and then had travelled up to Lincoln, or whether this is already that the case has already reached some sort of the case has already created difficulties, and so it's been sent to Lincoln for further consideration. It also raises questions about how much the recognitors, if they were empaneled, would know about precisely what happened in the Prior's Court, whether they'd know enough to say definitively whether the Prior's Court had been so defective that, in effect, William had been deceased unjustly and without judgment.
Yeah, that's very interesting because this phrase appears in the written of Othestasian unjustly and without judgment, which sometimes sounds like a tautology. But in this case, it seems to fit with a sort of hedging that they don't actually know really whether he's treated unjustly and whether a judgment occurred or not. And therefore, what the justices almost do is rewind the case and say that William is to make proof as he was hoping to make proof in the Lord's Court. Is that right, or am I misunderstanding?
No, it seems to be. I think the crucial aspect here is that the Lord's Court said that William lost the case through default, whereas William said that he appeared, but the case simply can passed over his head. And we don't quite know exactly what how William's argument progresses from there. If he appeared in court, was he simply ignored? What happened there? So in effect, it's not so much challenging the judgment as alleging that the judgment never lawfully took place in the first place, which I think would be William's argument as to why he's entitled to bring a writ of novel disseisin. But that's still it still raises awkward questions about the exact way in which novel disseisin, a possessory action, can be used, and whether it is appropriate to use a writ of novel disseisin to reopen a case which has been concluded through an action of right.
Yes, it's really peculiar because one of the things that's always said to be significant about the novel disseisin is it, in a sense, creates a hierarchy of actions. Novel disseisin about possession or about seisin, simply about seisin, where you can get a decision, but then it can be reopened, in a sense, reviewed by a writ of right, which concerns both seisin and right to the land. But here we seem to have the reverse, don't we? That we have an action begun by writ of right, which now, in a sense, is being reviewed by the writ of novel disseisin.
Yeah, absolutely. And it raises questions as well about how litigants thought they might use these sorts of actions that were available to them, and that some certainly didn't necessarily constrain themselves to thinking about how they ought to use these actions. They perhaps thought about how they could use them creatively. And maybe William thought, well, he might have a chance here if he directs a writ of novel disseisin not against the prior, but against the tenants. And so it's through these sorts of processes that we do see legal development happening, and various other aspects of substantive law developing.
So, does William Blackbeard get the land back?
Well, unfortunately, we don't really know, and this is another of the problems that we often encounter with the plea rolls. We find interesting cases, and we can follow their progression to some extent, but then all of a sudden, the records of the action just disappear. And it seems to be possibly because the rolls that they are recorded in are lost, but also they may have been settled, and the record of the settlement has not been entered. We are not really sure in some cases.
So here what we have then is a case which is very interesting for its arguments and for the combination of procedures, but not one where we can find out whether the arguments were effective.
Unfortunately, yes.